Teen pregnancy is declining in Utah. A well-known Utah gun rights activist is temporarily losing his right to bear arms. And Cottonwood Heights' first and only mayor is filing for re-election. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, June 4th. I'm Brian Grimmett. As the school year comes to a close, there will be fewer teen mothers in Utah missing out on graduation. Teen pregnancy rates in Utah have plummeted in the last few years. A recent report from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention shows the rate of births to teen mothers across the country dropped by 25% from 2007 to 2011. The rate in Utah fell by almost 30%. Among Hispanic teens in the state, it dropped by 40%. The report did not address the reasons behind the decline, but KUER's Andrea Smartin talks to Salt Lake area adults and teens who believe it has something to do with access to birth control and better sex education.
When the closing bell rings at West High School in Salt Lake City, teenagers cross the train tracks and head over to the Capital West Boys and Girls Club. They pick up a basketball, shoot some pool, or sit on the couches and eat snacks. The club's teen center director, Jessica Hill, could almost be mistaken for one of the kids with her purple mohawk and jean shorts. Hill says teen pregnancy used to be a regular thing at the club.
Every year we would have about one pregnancy, either caused by one of our kids or, you know, pregnancy from one of our girls, every single year. One, sometimes two.
But Hill says there have been no teen births in the club for 2 years. What's changed? For one thing, they've been teaching a federally funded class about personal responsibility called All for You, which includes sex ed. Every week, teens with permission from their parents get some frank lessons about pregnancy, sexually transmitted diseases, and how to prevent them, including the details about various forms of contraception. Hill says the class fills a real need.
They're not being talked to about this at school or necessarily in their home a lot. I think having a facilitator that's comfortable talking about these sensitive topics is pretty foreign to them.
16-year-old Esperanza has been in the program for 2 years. Club officials asked that KUER use only her first name. She says she finds it helpful to have adults who can answer her questions.
Jess gave a lot of, like, information, stuff they don't really say in school. It's just more educational for me and for other people, too.
Hill says many kids in the class have tough situations at home, and they need some support from adults to take their lives in a different direction.
A lot of the kids in the class, their mom got pregnant when she was 16, and their sister's pregnant, their cousin's pregnant, everyone, it's just the norm. And they, you know, come forward and they're like, not me, I'm going to college. So
it's true.
Esperanza says her family struggles. She has no father at home, and she hasn't seen her older brother in a while, since he got in trouble, as she puts it. For a while, she was hanging out with a crowd who she says was skipping school and doing bad things. Now, she says, she's turning things around. She's changed who her friends are and is doing well in school. Esperanza believes she can reach her goal of being a pediatrician.
I hang out with different people because I don't want them getting in my way anymore from achieving my dreams.
Hill says it takes more than just sex ed to help teens make those kind of changes. Teens in the All for You program learn how to articulate their values, communicate their boundaries, and they spend time doing community service. This year, the teens volunteered with younger kids in the Rose Park Elementary After School program.
It gives the kids a sense of usefulness and a sense of empowerment, and it helps them think about others. Teens that have higher self-esteem are less likely to engage in risky behaviors.
Annabelle Scheinberg is Education Director for Planned Parenthood Utah. She says these types of evidence-based programs have already been proven to work at reducing teen pregnancy. She says another factor in Utah is increased access to long-acting, reversible methods of contraception, like implants or IUDs.
I really do believe it's a twofold approach to reducing teen pregnancy, and part of it does deal with health care, access to services, access to contraceptives, and then also access to education. I think those are really what can make teen pregnancy go down.
Planned Parenthood works through the federal government and the Utah Department of Health to fund an abstinence program for middle schoolers called Wyman's Teen Outreach Program, or TOP. Scheinberg says one of the benefits of the program is that it gets parents talking to teenagers about sex.
There's maybe more of an awareness that this is something that parents can really talk to their teens about. And I think that the more parents get that message that this is something to talk about, the more we can continue to make headway.
Angelica Polifox has enrolled her son Benito in TOP for 2 years at a Midvale community center. With her son translating, Polifox explains how she has benefited from the program.
Bueno, es interesante el programa.
She says that it's a very good program because it teaches about the risk of teen pregnancy and that she gets to learn also new stuff that she didn't know from me that I go and talk to her about it just to know like what I need as a teenager.
This year, there were 54 young people who participated in TOP from middle schools and community centers in Midvale, Northwest, and Glendale. But Scheinberg says there are more who end up being affected by the program.
We know parents are the most effective sex educators. Peers are the second most influential when it comes to teens' decision-making process. And if through these efforts we are impacting teens, I do feel confident that that has spillover effect. With those teens being able to talk with confidence and represent what they're learning, I think we're impacting more than we know.
The Federal Affordable Care Act provides funding through 2015 to reduce teen pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases in Utah and around the country. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
One of Utah's best-known gun rights advocates will lose his concealed weapons permit and the right to keep firearms in his home, at least temporarily. The Salt Lake Tribune reports a judge signed an injunction last Friday based on a complaint filed by Clark Aposhian's ex-wife and her current husband. He's charged with domestic violence and criminal mischief after an incident on Memorial Day involving his driving a large army surplus truck in their neighborhood and alleged threats made later. Aposhian has said the facts are very different from the way they've been portrayed, and his attorney calls the charges a form of extortion meant to put Aposhian out of business as a firearms instructor. He's set for a court hearing today on the misdemeanor charges. Cottonwood Heights Mayor Kevin Cullimore Jr. has filed for re-election. Cullimore was elected as the first mayor of Cottonwood Heights back in 2004 following a successful incorporation referendum. Cullimore says his administration has done an excellent job of providing services at a reasonable cost. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
In his re-election announcement, Mayor Cullimore stressed the important things Cottonwood Heights has not done under his leadership.
We haven't in the 9 years since the city started raised taxes. We haven't raised any fees. We haven't created new taxes. We still have no debt. We've never bonded for anything.
But Cullimore says that didn't stop him from making new investments in the community.
We've been able to make significant improvements in city amenities all through our budgeting process, things like Mount View Park, the big Cottonwood Canyon Trail, started our own police department.
Revenues in Cottonwood Heights have fallen by about $1 million since the economic downturn. Cullimore says the city has yet to recover those losses, but has obtained a number of state and federal grants to complete infrastructure improvements. Cullimore says he can find additional savings by possibly looking outside Salt Lake County for a more efficient public works provider and finding a permanent home for City Hall, while interest rates and construction costs are low.
Recognize that just like any homeowner, you certainly would rather own than rent. It's a better long-term use of taxpayer dollars to, instead of be paying rent, be paying a mortgage payment.
The challenge, Cullimore says, is finding a space in the mostly built-out Cottonwood Heights. It's not yet known if anyone will run against Cullimore. The last day to file for municipal elections is Friday. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
A bill that could make it harder to sell fake or stolen prescription drugs passed the U.S. House of Representatives yesterday. Fourth District Congressman Jim Matheson is a co-sponsor of H.R. 1919, which would require a product identifier code on every container of prescription drugs sold in the United States. Matheson says technology is readily available to track them.
It is likely there's going to be some kind of two-dimensional, or even there's these things called three-dimensional barcodes that will probably be the technology that does get adopted. And you can track it whether it's on a pallet or whether it's on an individual bottle.
The bill has bipartisan support, and Matheson says passing a bill like this could help to improve cooperation on some of the more difficult issues facing Congress.
Hundreds of people attended a private funeral for two Ogden area boys police say were stabbed by their 15-year-old brother. Police kept reporters and television cameras away from the funeral for the 10-year-old and 4-year-old, and a pastor said the family had no comment. The 15-year-old is being held in juvenile custody. Preliminary FBI data shows the number of violent crimes reported to police in Salt Lake City rose slightly from 2011 to 2012. Statistics released Monday show Salt Lake City police handled 1,295 violent crimes in 2012, including 8 murders, 119 rapes, and 854 aggravated assaults. That's up from 1,230 the year before. The number of violent crimes reported in West Valley City fell slightly from 598 to 593 in 2012. Provo saw 148 violent crimes, 8 fewer than in 2011. Utah government employees are cleaning up parks and golf courses in Salt Lake Valley this week, but they're not picking up litter. It's a goose roundup. KUER's Nicole Nixon has the story.
Rich Hansen and his team from the Division of Wildlife Resources are spending this week rounding up geese. He says large broods of geese are messy and a nuisance to golfers and parkgoers. Their feces also contain nitrogen, which messes with the growth and fertilization of plants and the chemical balances of ponds.
We go to golf courses, apartment complexes, city parks, anywhere there's large concentrations of geese that are causing problems.
At Meadowbrook Golf Course, a few of Hansen's team get in kayaks and row across a pond, driving geese out of the water and toward the trap they've set up. Once out of the water, the geese huddle together as part of the team comes from behind with the huge length of plastic fencing. The kayakers get to shore in advance, surrounding the geese. As the group converges, the geese panic.
Very efficient. Good job.
That's the way it should be done.
Hansen's team will capture about 1,000 geese this week and tag them with leg bands in order to monitor their migration patterns and survival rates. They take the young geese, only born this spring, and release them into the wild.
We take them to ponds where there are already wild adults with young. Geese will readily adopt other young geese, and then they kind of just show them how to survive in the wild.
The adults captured this week will go to lakes in southern Utah, where Hansen hopes they'll stay. But he says about 40% of the adults will eventually return to the city. Nicole Nixon, KUER News.
And finally, Cache County has pulled around 50 cars from the Logan and Blacksmith Fork Rivers in a federally funded restoration project. Some of the cars were put there on purpose, part of a project years ago to stabilize the riverbanks. The Herald Journal reports tons of metal has been recovered from the river and taken to a recycling facility. The project will continue after a 3-week break. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, June 4th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.